All right. So we're going to take off right where we left off last night. We went quite a bit last night talking about the kingdom of God, dealing with what that is. The question we're asked again, what is it? And so we're going to continue down that path. I actually went over this last night too, this next part, but I'm going to back up just a little bit, a few slides, to do some review. Because it'll be kind of leading us into the next part of it, so we can grab hold to this. Now, this is an amazing part of study in the Bible, because we're dealing with the kingdom of God. We're going to ask, what is it? Why is it coming? When is it coming? All those questions we're going to ask. And we want to make sure that we pull all the scripture that we possibly can. For your study, your own study, so you'll know it for yourself. And so I want to make sure that you understand that. Before I go, I know I have all these slides, but while we were singing, I was thinking about something. And so you're going to have to use your Bible here. I usually make all these slides but get your Bible. How many got a Bible with you? If you don't, we want to help you have one. So please let us know so we can get at least some Bible in your hand. But go to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read something to you. And just to show you what we're dealing with. And I know I'm going to have this later on in the study, but for some reason, I want you to hear it, and I might repeat this often. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse... let's see, let's start with 22. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. For as in Adam all died, even so in Messiah shall all be made alive. So in Adam all died, but in Messiah all shall be made alive. But every man in his own order. I mean, you know, God has an order of when that's going to happen. Messiah, the first fruits. So he tells us who's first in the order. Who's first? Messiah. Afterward. Is that before? No, it's after. That's why he emphasizes that for us. Afterwards, they that are Messiahs. Notice the qualifier. Afterward doesn't mean everybody. We know when it's going to happen. After Messiah. What's the qualifier? Afterward, those who are Messiahs. How do you become Messiahs? That you belong to some, because we're talking about a person here. That's the Messiah, Christ. How do you become his? You listen to what he says. So the kingdom of God concept is made alive or reborn inside of us to understand this concept. Now, it's not a reality, but we're living by that principle. And I want you to get this because it's important for you to understand everything else we say. We are Messiahs at his coming. So when is it? When does it go final? At his coming. I'm just reading this simple text. Simple. I don't know where we get what we got, but it happens. My whole thing this morning, I was just thinking on these terms. In my mind, I was thinking, you know, God chose to reveal whatever he chose at this time. Here's the thing about Revelation. You can hang on to what you once believed so much so that you can't receive what God has fresh. Some people want to call it new or whatever, but I'm telling you, it's just a refreshing thing when God chooses to reveal more of himself. And he done that in his own Son and now by Holy Spirit. So last night I said, you can't understand the kingdom and what it's all about without Holy Spirit. You can't do it. That's why he said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come on you. What's the context of the question? Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom back to Israel? That's what we were talking about. Now, remember, all this series is dealing with the fact that in Matthew 4, Matthew 6, because in Matthew 4 he says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the words of Jesus. Matthew 6, he says, well, when you pray, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So it's a, he's given us this concept to think about. And then in 6:33, he says, but seek first the kingdom. So he's trying to get our attention, and he's setting up the parameters of everything else he says. We have to keep this concept in mind about the kingdom. What is that? Well, let's read on. So when Messiah comes, then he says, then come at the end when he shall have delivered the kingdom to Yahweh. Now, between his coming and then coming the end, that's a lot. There's a lot of time in between those two verses. Now, according to scripture, at minimum, 1,000 years. It's called the millennial reign. Just so you know, that is not the completion of the kingdom. Because I don't want you to even think that, even say, is it a part of it? Well, absolutely. Right now, what you're doing is a part of it. But the millennial reign is not the completion of the kingdom. That we, if we stop there, we're not reading the rest. Let me read the rest and see if we should put this in or not. You think maybe we'll miss anything? Because then comes the end. When he, meaning Messiah, talking about Yeshua, shall deliver up the kingdom to Yahweh. What kingdom? The one that he straightened up after the mess it was in. Think about that. He delivers it up to Yahweh, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule, all authority, and all power. What's the job of Messiah? Put down all rule, all authority, and all power. He puts it down. Then he delivers the kingdom to Yahweh. For he must reign till he had put all enemy under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. He is accepted, talking about Yahweh, who put all things under him, talking about Yeshua. I know it would be a help, because sometimes we, in these pronouns, we can't distinguish who they apply to. But if you read it slowly, you can show how they apply. We're talking about, this is talking about Yeshua and the Father at the same time and showing the order and position in which they will obtain. So I wanted to point that out, because the next section I'm going to talk about is what conversation that Yeshua have with Pilate. And I mentioned this last night, but I'm going to use it as my opener today so we can move forward. So I wanted to mention that. We're dealing with the millennial reign is only temporary. And what does he say about his kingdom? It's forever. So we can't say that the millennial reign is it. But when, and I don't have time to do it today, and I will in this series, I'll talk about Revelations 21 and 22, which really just wraps this thing up for us to see it. So I want you to think about, because what is the question that we're answering from between last Sunday and last night and today is what is the kingdom? What is that? We're going to see it in the scripture. So when the question When questioned, did Yeshua tell Pilate? How many remember that story? He's brought before Pilate. Pilate is a pagan. He's not following the Torah, but he's in rulership. He's there and he's got some charge of the people. And Yeshua tells Pilate that he was to become a king, but not of this present age or world, implying that it would be in an age or world to come later. So let me read that interaction in John 18. Then led they Yeshua from Caiaphas into a hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. And Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" And they answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee." Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." According to your Torah, you judge him just what it says. He was not interfering. He wasn't stopping them. They very well could have done that. The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." Well, that's not the case. It is lawful if he's got it, if he's done something wrong. Like if a man was caught in adultery, the law says put him to death. If a woman's caught in adultery, the law says put her to death. So there was laws pertaining to this, but they said it's not lawful for us to put any man to death. Well, there's a truth to that and there's a falsehood to that. And they're just playing on words here to Pilate. Remember, he's in authority. That the sayings of Yeshua might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying the death that he should die. Then Pilate entered the judgment hall again and called Yeshua and said unto him, "Art thou king of the Jews?" He just plainly asked him, "Are you king of the Jews?" Because he could put some things together. They're uprising, and the reason they're up against him, they know the prophecy said the Messiah is coming. Now the Messiah is there, but the question's not being asked. So what does Pilate do? He just asked the question, "Are you king of the Jews? Are you that guy?" And Yeshua answered him, "Sayest thou these things of thyself, or didst others tell thee of me?" Did you come up with this on your own? Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew?" They in this conversation, "Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Because if somebody did something and you bring the evidence, then no matter if you was involved in the case or not, if you were shown the evidence, you can determine in your own mind if this guy's guilty. But Pilate's looking at this and going, "I don't get what's going on here, but let's see." Yeshua answered, this is what he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now, that can be confusing if you don't understand what he means by world. So the world we're in, and then there's another world we talk about. It starts with an H. Heaven. That's a different world. That's how we see it as Christians. We see it as this world, and then there's another world. I hope some of you weren't thinking hell when I said H. Okay? But so we got the world, but he's talking about an age. It's a time period that is it comes and it's over, and then it's a new age that starts. So he's talking about this. He said, "My kingdom." Does he deny that it's a kingdom? No, he don't deny it. But he's talking about a time period. There's a time period. Was he to do that then? That wasn't his job. Because remember, there was a spot where Jesus said, I don't know exactly where it's at, but at the end, he says, "Everything the Father asked me to do, I have done. My job here," this was his first come, "is finished." It finished. So if part setting the kingdom up was part of that, he would have done it. He wouldn't have said it was finished. It's at a different time, a different age, not of this age, but a different age. How many understand that? "If my kingdom were of this world," or age, "then would my servants fight." Because if his kingdom was of this age, he would have servants, which is also called subjects. How many got that concept? You can't, there's no qualified kingdom unless somebody's obeying the rule. And if they're not obeying the rule, you're not much of a king. How many understand that? How many know God ultimately is going to be the king? Well, just read it to you in Corinthians, where Yeshua, the king, turns the kingdom over back to his father, who's ultimate king. Why is he ultimate king? Because he never has been dethroned, nor can he be. He's in the process of trying to get people to obey the rule. But he got one guy, his son, Yeshua, who came and kept it all. So then he promoted him. He promoted him. He said, you're given this position. Was he above the angels? Not originally. Man's made lower than the angels. But now he's crowned him. If you're crowning somebody, you're giving them some type of promotion. He crowns him and he gives them that position where the angels have to bow down to Yeshua. Isn't that amazing? It's incredible. And so he gained that authority for us, and he's going to then pass it on. Notice what he says. Not of this world. My servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So he's talking about a time period. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou king then? Because everything he just said, he some reason he's not getting it, because he said, my time is not yet. So he didn't answer it directly, but indirectly. But Pilate wants what? A direct answer. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou king then? Yeshua answered, thou sayest that I am a king. And he tells him, to this end was I born. So now he's going to explain the reason he came. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Now the truth didn't come with him. He was going to bear witness to the truth. So we got to ask ourselves, what is that truth? Well, from this point, we have to back up, go to Genesis. And we're going to find out what is the truth all the way leading up to the time Yeshua was born in Bethlehem, to the virgin birth. There he is. He said, my reason, now he's able to speak as a grown man for himself. And he said, I was born for this reason. There's a mandate on my life. I've been called by my father, and I'm here to testify to what's truth. Great, great reply. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So if people want to know truth, to get the full impact of truth, you got to do what? Hear his voice. Hence, we're studying the words of Jesus. That's why we're studying it, because we want to hear his voice. We're going to learn some things from him and what he says. So we're going to have to hear his voice. And Pilate said unto him, what is truth? Great question. What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Now, he never answered Pilate, what is truth? He never answered him about, because Pilate wanted to know what is truth. And the reason he didn't answer him, because he already answered him. That's the reason he didn't answer him. Pilate's question was rhetorical. Not unanswered. He knew once the message. What was the message? I'm here to testify to the truth. He wants to know what is truth. And because there's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of information. But if you really want to get to the truth, listen to the messenger. Listen to what the words that Jesus said. If you listen to that, there's your answer. The thing is we don't realize how much we listen to other things rather than what he said. And the only way we can know that is compare them. Compare what we believed to what he said. No matter what time or stage in your life that is, And you'll find out that the more we listen to him, the more we have to change what we believe. We have to make those adjustments. And it doesn't matter why you believe that. That's beside the point. If you believed it, you're accountable to it. To believe in something, you own it, you're accountable to it. Don't matter who told you. They're not going to say, well, they told me, so I'm off the hook now. You got to get them for telling me. It's not the way it works. If you believed it, you're on the hook for it. We want to know the truth, and we're going to find that out. Did Yeshua also tell his disciples that he would rule in the new world or new age, referring to himself as the Son of Man? Well, let's see. Matthew chapter 19, then said Yeshua unto his disciples, verily, verily, I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Notice that. He said, a rich man will hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. So in the same conversation, he says it two different ways. So we can look at this and say, well, this is, this is not really blending together. He says, one, say the kingdom of heaven. Then he says it again, the kingdom of Yahweh. There's a reason, because we have Matthew's account was his account was written to Jews. And so in Jewish language, they would always refer, instead of using kingdom of God, they would always use heaven, because they knew when they mentioned heaven, it's a reference to God who's on the throne. And hence, they didn't want to use it in vain, the name of God in vain. So when they write it, even still today, they'll put G/D. So they don't write it in vain, what have you. But that's the reason behind it. But we find here that Yeshua himself uses this term because obviously something's going on here in this audience. And so he's going to make sure that the ones who understand, Jews, if he says kingdom of heaven, they understand what that means. He's speaking of the kingdom of Yahweh. But if he said the kingdom of heaven, another audience or group of people wouldn't understand that. So he used the kingdom of Yahweh, because they wouldn't have no background to bring that understanding clear. Jews would. But people who weren't there, that were a different audience, they would never understand that. And so I want you to just keep that in mind, because that's why it was said that. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Yeshua beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible. With men this is impossible. With Yahweh all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have? What shall we have therefore? And Yeshua said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory. Notice his reference about himself. What he's still declaring? Son of Man. Who's going to sit on the throne? Son of Man. Understand, so that humanity connection is never lost, because God promoted him to his right hand. Because he's talking about an event that had not happened yet. Right? An event that hadn't taken place. It's going to happen, but it hadn't happened. And how does he address himself? Son of Man. And you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So the hope, I was trying to point that understanding, that we have to keep that throughout the reading of the text, that we have been so blessed to have our elder brother come and take it all on himself for all of humanity. And so I believe that, being said, God wants to show us the power of Holy Spirit and what it's capable of doing. Remember, he speaks with them. Things pertaining to what? The kingdom of God in Acts. And we read that last night. And so with him speaking on those terms, he's wanting them to understand. And so we know that he's teaching them these things about the kingdom of God. But he's wanting to emphasize that we have to have the Holy Spirit to help us. So what was the good we find in the Holy Spirit who you don't put reins on to live in your life? What good is it? Well, look at Yeshua's life. How many mistakes did he make? You see what I'm saying? But yet we're constantly in error and many mistakes in our life. Why is that? Is it a lack that God's power is diminished in some way? Did he lack? You know why? We don't let Holy Spirit do the job that he's here to do. We have to allow that. You've got to receive power. Receiving is an act of your own will. Remember that. Receiving is an act of your will. If you don't reach out, grab hold to it, and pull it in, then what do you expect from God? You got to grab hold to it. Now, once you grab hold to it, it's going to do something in you. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you act, change the way you speak. Everything changes about you. But the reason we don't work hard for that to happen, because we don't see the result. Hence, we teach it on the kingdom, because that's the result. The result is the Son of Man sits on the throne. Do you understand that? It's easy. It was easy for Jesus. He was the Son of God. What are you? Did he not create man in his own image and his likeness? What's the one thing that's distracting in man? It's sin, self-willed. That's the distraction. How do you fix sin and self-will? Holy Spirit power comes in and changes everything about you. Not my will, but thy will. You think, where'd that come from? How can a man spew that out of his mouth? When he's the one hurting, when he's the one being spit on, when he's the one having his beard plucked out, when he's the one with a crown of thorns on, when he's the one got his back beat to the bone, stripped naked for everybody to see, he's going through it. What makes that spew out of his mouth? The power of the Holy Spirit. I told you last night, you will not understand the kingdom of God unless the Holy Spirit is able to live and reside in your life without hindrance. You can't stop it. You can't say to the Holy Spirit, well, not now. You can't quench it. What does he talk about? When he talks about quenching, he says, quench not. I'm not sure we even got that little lesson there, the not part. Quench not the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you need him. You need that power. You need that authority operating in your life. Because if not, every time you falter, it's a direct link to you not allowing Holy Spirit to do his job. The job of the power of the Holy Spirit is critical in understanding the kingdom of God. Now, I can teach the kingdom to you. I can go through all these lessons. I can give you 1,000 slides on the kingdom. But what good is that if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to then marinate that thing inside of you? It won't do no good. You're a hearer only, but never become a doer of the word. Because you can't do it on your own. Do you understand that? You can't do it. He stays with them after his resurrection. Almost 6 weeks he's driving this home about what? On the kingdom. And he says, but you need this power. I know you want an office at this time. People were more concerned about the timing of it rather than the power you need to grab hold to it and hold it with all your might. Let me tell you what keeps a martyr from surrendering and buying into the lies of the enemy. They took John and they balled him in awe. What makes a man not say, I quit? I give up. Remember, in today's society, quit and give up comes like it's so easy. You know, if the weather's not right, we quit. What makes a man do that? It wasn't because he's a better man. Made of the same stuff. He wasn't a better man than you are. But he allowed something to work in his life. And what it allowed to work illuminated the prize. Now he has something to believe for, something to work toward. The prize was so big, he didn't want to at all say, I just can't take this no more. But yet we have just regular common folks every day talking about, well, you know, I just can't take it. My family problems is so bad, you know, I'm quitting everything. I ain't going to church. I'm just tired of it. You can do whatever you want. Remember, because what we're dealing with is the will of man. Man's will is the battle that you fight. Some people call that the devil. Can I tell you, it's not the devil. You're not fighting the devil. The devil can't make you do anything. Do you understand that? All the devil's job is to tell you, go on do it, big boy. You had it, go on and do it. And God's on the other side by Holy Spirit said, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The devil said, no, but you ultimately the one that finally makes the decision. Not the devil. It depends which one you're going to listen to. Who are you going to hear? So there's an emphasis driven here about what Yeshua wanted them to understand. And I can tell you, and I will stick by this with everything. You cannot understand the kingdom fully without Holy Spirit. Not at all. Think about that. Because we need that intimacy with God. Remember, the Holy Spirit is intimacy with God. It's that stepping to a place that you cannot normally get on your own. No matter how you can be a person who is very particular about what you do, how you do it. You can be very precise on what you do. You can be very neat and all of those things. But without Holy Spirit, you'll never understand the kingdom of God. You'll analyze it. You draw conclusions. You'll make comments, but you never understand it. Because let me tell you, when Holy Spirit comes, you can be a person who don't have a whole lot of education. You might have grew up in a jungle somewhere. But when the power of Holy Spirit comes on you, he will reveal everything that you need to know in order to be successful serving God. You know what that tells me? It don't matter where you come from today. Don't matter what your background is, how much suffering you've ever done. What matters, if you accept the kingdom story that's been laid out by Messiah and let the Holy Spirit teach you and marinate what you hear inside of you, your life will never be the same. Church has become this, it's almost what they call it. It's been a while since I've been in school, but they used to have, before the game, pep rally. All right? Now, you get a pep rally going when I was in school, some of them things get crazy. You do things you not normally do, right? Because they're different. There's a scene set up. And what are you doing? You're not living in normal world. You come out of that, out the box, and you're trying to do what? Excite everybody about the game tonight. It's going to be wonderful. And so the church says, that's the position we're going to take. We're just going to excite everybody about the game. Well, how many of you know when the pep rally's over and you're actually on the field and you're behind, the shout is not so loud no more. Not like at the gym. We were tearing the place up. You understand? Church is not positioned to do that. If we try to do that, we're wasting people's time and we're wasting God's time. Our job is to lay out what the scripture says. The Holy Spirit then comes in. That one, it don't matter if you're down, it's the fourth quarter and you're down by a lot. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit says, I'm telling you, he's the only one can bring it together for you, not the church. Because no matter where you go, no, you not. That you are the temple of Holy Spirit. Know you not. Most people are defeated when they feel like they're alone. You understand my point? If you're feeling alone, there's not enough teaching on the Holy Spirit because you can't be alone. The power is there for you. You shall receive power. And it's to get the message out. Remember, he's not going to return until the kingdom's been preached in all the world. The kingdom message. And that's important. Does Paul also speak about this world to come? Let's listen to what Paul said. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1. Therefore, We ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So we got to be careful that we've heard some things, but we got to do what after we hear it? What do we got to do? More earnest heed to it. We got to give more attention to it. We got to really buy into what we've heard. For if the word spoken, notice that. What are we talking about? Spoken words. If the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's absolutely incredible what's happened for us, that we get to be a part of this. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Master, talking about Yeshua, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. How was it confirmed? By them that heard him. Elohim also, talking about Yahweh, Elohim also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Very important. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come. Remember that world we talking about? He said, Pilate asked him, not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. And we always take that. I know the early church for sure. I mean early in our time. Just, you know, a few decades ago, would have said, talking about heaven, not of this world. It's not going to ever be here. It's always going to be there. He's talking about an age, because he's talking about, for unto the angels had he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. There's a world to come. How many understand there's a world to come? And that's important, because we got to grab hold to that world to come. That's the kingdom of God. It's going to be fascinating. Does Isaiah prophesy this reign of Yahweh through his Messiah, Yeshua? Well, let's look at it. Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bring good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bring good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy Elohim reigneth. Wow. Thy Elohim reigneth. And this is so beautiful. Does the book of Revelation refer to the time when the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of God and of his Christ? I'm talking about Messiah. Well, let's look at Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel soundeth, and there was a great voice in the heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become... Notice that. The kingdoms of this world, of this age, are become the kingdom of our sovereign and of his Messiah. And he shall reign forever and ever. How wonderful is that? The kingdom of this world become the kingdom of our sovereign. What a wonderful word there. Does Yeshua say that he has been given power from the Father to rule over the nations? Does Yeshua say that he's been given power from the Father to rule over the nations? Let's look at it. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as a vessel of a potter. Shall they be broken into shivers, sheaves, even as I received of my Father? Now, last night, I covered that in Daniel. You can go back and listen to it. We don't have time to do that, but remember the golden head, and then the silver, and then the bronze, and then the leg irons, and then the feet, that's iron mixed with clay, and then the stone. I covered that last night. I was in the part last night. But he's talking about, and he shall rule with the rod of iron. And so keep that in mind. So we can now see that the kingdom of Yahweh is nothing less than the new world government of Elohim, Yahweh our Father, ruling over all nations and people of the earth under the kingship of Yeshua, his Messiah. That is going to be the start of it, and the ultimate factor is God himself. And we'll get to that as we go through the study, but we're just answering the question, what is the kingdom? So I'm trying to show you that in the Bibles, all throughout the scripture, we have these references pertaining to the kingdom of God. Very, very, very important. The next question, why is the kingdom of Yahweh coming? Why? We answered, what is the kingdom? Why is it coming? We're going to answer that. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve effectively rejected Elohim's rule over them through unbelief and disobedience, instigated by Satan. They and all mankind afterward unwittingly came under the rule of Satan. Because you got to be under a rule to be in a kingdom. You remember that? Satan is described as the god of this world, this age. I want you to think about that, of this age, this time period we're in. And you're going to have now that we have Yeshua come, we have a voice now. That voice, and there was always a voice even from Adam, but God used different methods to getting the word to people. And the Torah was set up and all the commandments, the days of feast and all that set up. They wouldn't hear it. They wouldn't receive it. So Yeshua comes and he tells he's going to come and then he's going to make it. What does he come for? For this cause. For this reason was I born, to testify to the truth. So understand that. So is he going to change the message? He don't change the message. He just explains the message. Remember, the New Testament or New Covenant is nothing more than a commentary of the old. It gives you a better understanding. Well, it's just all confusing to me because you need Holy Spirit. Remember that. You don't need a better teacher. You need Holy Spirit. I have to teach under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If I wouldn't have it, I wouldn't even get up here. If I wouldn't make sure that I'm in union, in communication with Holy Spirit throughout the week, what's the point in me coming up here? You can't come up here with head knowledge. That's not going to get you very far. Because most of the things that I say during a message, I may read these things, but what I'd say, I have to depend on the Holy Spirit to remind me of those things and make sure that they flow out the way he desires them to flow. That's just the way it is. Why would you try it any other way when he says you need it? Yet, what am I doing throughout the week to make sure that I'm creating an atmosphere in my life to allow that to happen? What am I doing? What's the things that I'm doing in my life that allows that to happen right before you step up? Or what are you doing? Are you communicating? We communicate with God. We do it through prayer. We do it through speaking to him. Just ask him, Lord, I don't even. But he says, trust in me. You go out, there'll be no purse, no script. But the same hour, the Spirit of the Lord will reveal it to you. But there has to be some working of Holy Spirit. Has to happen. You can't understand it. It'll never happen in your life. So we have Satan, who he's speaking his ways, and then we have God speaking his ways. But before Satan spoke his ways, God set his ways. They were already known. There was no interference in the ways of God. They were always, he spoke his ways. This is what I like. This is what I dislike. That was spoken. But I want to show you that it's not about how one says it. What happens is even angels, that's been proven, even angels, they have the ability to make their decision for themselves. Even angels, not just humans, angels can decide for themselves. And we see that in the scripture, the angels decided to do certain things that were contrary to God. And does angels get free passes? No, there's a price to pay. There's prices to pay for that. Right now, I think it's in Jude, it talks about that they're being held in Tartarus. There's a place, and Peter definitely points that out, that they're waiting. They're waiting the judgment. It's going to happen. And that's for everybody. The graves are full of people waiting for judgment. Just think about it. That's where you wait. Let me move on. is this confirmed in Ephesians, referring to Satan as the prince of the power of the air? Notice that. An unseen spirit being influencing all mankind without our knowing it. Let's see. Ephesians 2. And you, talking about us, but right now this is wrote to Ephesus. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He quickened. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So he's telling us we're not coming. Nobody here is coming to God with a clean slate. When we come to God, we were walking actively, participating in the kingdom or a realm of the prince and power of the air. That's what we were under. But now we have someone who comes and he says, I'm going to show you how to live for Yahweh the right way. Now, does he do it without power? After John saw him, he said, this is one that's mightier than I. I'm not even worthy to unloose his shoes. And he says, then he baptized him. And when he baptized him, the heavens opened and a voice said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved son. And then the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. Now he's got the Holy Spirit. Now the church wants to say it this way, because then he started doing these miracles. So now there's something. He's some God man. Because nobody could do these miracles. I mean, even the Pharisees said, who could do these miracles unless they be sent from God? They got to be God's messenger. Well, let me tell you what the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm just thinking we're not fully getting this. We leave in a, how many know that would be sad to have a, let's see, how can I put this? It would be sad to have the power. Let's say you had two motors in your boat. You had two motors and you just run one of them. Kind of gets you where you're going. But boy, I mean, you're putting a workout on that one. And the guy comes, you know, any of you guys in here that's been on the boat, you would go, man, that's the strangest thing I've ever seen in my life. So you go talk to the guy and say, hey, what's that other motor for? Oh, you know, I just figured I'd get two of them. Why you don't run it? Well, I got one running, but you're carrying the weight around. You're lugging all this extra weight. Why don't you crank that other motor and see, and this thing will go way faster. Especially if the guy's on the radio saying, yeah, my boat's slow. Time I get to the shrimp, they get them all. Come back. The guy on the other end, if he loves the guy at all, he said, well, listen, Cap, you got two motors paid for in full. Crank it up. That's what the church has been doing. Chugging along on one engine called humanity. Bypassing the power of the Holy Spirit, who's just waiting for you and I to crank it up and get the success that you really want. Because we want success. And we almost get to it, but we never get there. It's just out of reach. And let me tell you what you do when it's just out of reach, and he does it over and over again. You'll change rules that you know is not right to have success. When you didn't have to change anything, just get the power of the Holy Spirit to get cranked up and get going where you're going. That happens to change everything about you. You know what Jesus did? He cranked both of them things wide open, and he never looked back. He wasn't late to anything. He was always on time. When it came time for accomplishment, he was there. When he's walking out, you know, I'm walking out, there comes a funeral. Right, Bob? He didn't just so happen to be there. But if he'd have been running on one, he'd have never got that success. He'd have never been where he needed to be. He was led by Holy Spirit. And that's what we have to do. You'll never understand. I can teach this thing from now until then. You'll never get the kingdom. Because it's only understood by the power of Holy Spirit. Remember that. I won't leave you comfortless, he said. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. It'll teach you all things. What you need to know, you'll be taught by Holy Spirit, because there are some things that you can't be revealed just out of man's mind. They have to be God birthed inside of us. And those strategic positionings of the mysteries of God being revealed come at times that we can't control. We don't control that. We only can yield to Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, once it's revealed to you, don't try to go back and live in yesteryears and wonder why you didn't know then. That has nothing to do with what you decide today. Yesteryear is over with, and you're not going back and get that. You got to live for right now, right today. You have the, if you know it, you live by it. You grab hold to it with all that's in you. Remember, we lived according to the course of this world. And he said, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were no different. So if you see the guy that's struggling, remember, you struggled. If you see the God that's having a rough go at it, you had a rough go at it. When you see the God that's overcome with anxiety and depression and all that, we were in that position. We were in times past under that same condition. How many thank God that he made a difference in our life? And he goes, I didn't read the rest, but God. You go and read it yourself. But God. But God comes in and makes a difference in our life. And I'm thankful for that. Does Paul in the book of Romans say we are either slaves of sin under Satan or of righteousness under Yeshua and Messiah? Well, let's find out. Romans chapter 6. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. Now, let's not confuse what servant is. A servant is nothing more than a subject. You got a set of rules thrown out at you, and you say, well, I done it, but I didn't really want to do it. You think the person that you done it for cares how you really felt about it? As long as you've done what they wanted you to do. It's like the guy that, you know, he's on the drugs, whatever it is, he's fighting. I did him, but I didn't want to. The devil don't care if you wanted to or not. He's just glad you did, because he's out to kill you. You understand that? So understand that the act of what you do, because you don't intend to do that, in your mind you say, I didn't really want to do it, but I did it. You're the servant of that. You're still the servant of that. We have to break that. It's not what you feel on the inside. Now watch what he says. Whether of sin unto what? Sin leads to death, or of obedience unto righteousness. And he's asked the question, don't you know? Know you not that whom you yield yourself? That's where the question is there. Whether it's sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But Elohim be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now, can you be a servant of righteousness and not be free from sin? Think about that. Can you serve two masters? Remember that? He told us this already in his words. You can't do that. So if you're a servant of sin, then you're not going to be a servant of righteousness. If you're a servant of righteousness, you won't be a servant of sin. Very important. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmities of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. That's what we got to do. Now, how many remember going to do something? Somebody brought this up. It was either yesterday. I think it was yesterday. They were talking about a guy, you know, guys who might, you know, go overboard and you know, drink too much or whatever. Well, the next day they pay for it. You know, they got, and you okay? Man, I drank too much. because they're paying for it, because it's the next day. They call it a hangover. Well, they had a few guys with hangovers yesterday. They were, and they feel it. Well, it'd be something if that's the lesson you learn and it was a mistake and you move on, you never do it again. But how many remember when you was out in the world doing that thing that you fought the hangover and it was bad and you said, oh, I'll never. That's it. That's it. Till the next Saturday. Because the pain goes away and all your energy is focused on is the feeling, the good part of it. Then you go and repeat it again. And that's what we did. Day after day after day after day. Why? Because we are servant to it. We are servant to it. Tell me you ain't doing it, you're doing it. You're going to do what I tell you to do. We don't have that actually happen, but inside of us, that's what's going on. Well, here's what's saying when it comes to righteousness. We decide. We decide. I'm going to decide. I decide how far I want to go. Well, you know, some of them get it, you know, they start really reading the Bible. But, you know, I feel like in me, see, you never become a servant to righteousness. Because a servant to righteousness, you decide nothing. You yield to Holy Spirit. You yield everything inside of you. You yield because you're a servant of righteousness. Because that's what we did. We yielded to sin and death. We yielded to it. Every day we took our life in our hand and gave it to Satan. And he could decide whatever he wanted to do with us. You know what's the sad part? There's some people, we're here by the grace of God, but there's some folks, they didn't make it out. And we ought to do everything in our power to show that you can come out. You can come out. You don't have to be bound by that. Even so, ye now yield your members. Yield your members, servants to righteousness and holiness. That's what he tells us. Don't take the same energy. How many had energy when you was doing that before you got saved? You had energy. You was adamant about it. I mean, if you had to walk to go, you walked. How many ever walked somewhere you wanted to go out to and you walked? You know what happens if the car's broke when it's church time? Car broke. I ain't walking. You understand? That's the truth. Something you want, you're a servant of it. He's trying to tell us you have to become a servant to righteousness. How do you do that? In your own power, you won't do it. You was empowered to do that. When you did it, you was empowered. You're empowered by the enemy and the fact that it's getting dark. I mean, a certain time you got empowered. It's like then you listen to the music, whatever. By the midnight, you walking around like that. I mean, you're in it. You're wired in it. But serving God, it's just, you know, we have this stand. You got to be empowered by Holy Spirit. You'll pray more. You'll pray when you don't have a prayer in you. You'll read more. You'll read like you never thought you could read. You'll study more. You just do it because it's empowered by something. And if you want to say, if I ask you today, I said, okay, anybody in here, let me select anybody, my pick. I'll pick anybody sitting here and I'll say, okay, I want you to stand up and explain to me the kingdom of God in 5 minutes. If that chokes you up and troubles you, you understand? You see the dilemma of the church, and he's not coming back until all nations, everybody, everywhere has been taught the kingdom. You ought to be able to say it just like it just comes natural, flows out of you. At first, it's going to be a little rough because you can get caught off guard, but then all of a sudden it flows. When people ask me stuff on the boat, I'm kind of caught a little off guard. I'm like, where'd that come from? Especially after you just set Bud down. You know, Bud's relaxing over there now. You want to talk. And I'm like, okay. But when I get warmed up, they grab Bud, and they go somewhere else. You understand? Because it just takes them out. Because they don't really want to know. They just want to ask a question. But can you do it? Are you willing to put yourself in a position and say, I trust God? that he'll bring it to my attention. That's what has to happen. You have to do that all the time, always. What does Yeshua say about it? In John 8, and then said Yeshua unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father had taught me, I speak these things. Wow! I've done nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things. That's all he's asking. How many want the Father to teach you? How does he teach? By Holy Spirit. You're not going to have a class with God. You know, if I put sign-up sheet in the back and say, on Thursday this week, God's teaching the class. Right? I mean, I want to go to that class. If God coming, I'm going. I'm telling you, every single day of your life, he gives a class. When's the last time you signed up for it? Because you will never, no matter how much preaching we do on the kingdom, you'll never understand it. Because you don't have the power to understand it. It's a different realm and a different atmosphere than walking in the natural. You have to understand this spiritually because it's a spiritual thing. Verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. How many want this to be your motto? This is what he's telling us he did. I do always those things that please him. Wow. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Yeshua to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now that's a big understanding here that we need to grab. He's speaking to who? Jews that believed on him. But then he tells them, he said, let me just tell you, you can believe on me today. I'm interested in what you're doing tomorrow. What you're doing next week? What about a month from now? What about a year from now? Because the message gets clearer the more consistent you are. The message gets clearer the more consistent you are. You have to be consistent. So Jesus is basically telling them, listen, what'll happen if you continue in my words, then you are my disciples indeed. How you apply yourself to Scripture. See, people want to go to church, want to start serving God. Let me tell you, it's great. But unless you apply yourself to the Scripture, apply yourself to service, apply yourself to church and praying and reading your Bible, how can we become a disciple? We don't follow him. We don't do what he says for us to do. We're so used to entertainment and we're caught by all the stuff we got going on. But that's why the power of the Holy Spirit always guides you into all truth. Doing what you need to be doing at the right time and at the right place. In verse 32, and you shall know the truth. What's the qualifier for knowing the truth? Continuing in my word, then you shall know the truth. Continue in my word, and you shall know the truth. What did he come to do? For this reason I was born. For this everything I was born into the world, that I can testify to the truth. And so he tells us how to get that. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Remember, it's a progress. It's ongoing. The more truth I understand, the more free I'm going to be from the bondages of Satan. Being a servant to sin. How many after you got saved, you made a mistake? To make a mistake, you had to sin. Because if you didn't sin, then there's no mistake. So we made a mistake. We sinned. When we sin, was that sin against, did we sin because God commanded us to sin? Or did Satan somehow get to us? You understand? You know, if you get a phone call like, hey, Pastor, pray for me. I just was the servant to Satan. And I did it. You understand? You won't say it like that. You'll say, I just messed up. You know, I'm on the road to glory. And I hit a bump in the road to glory. Let me just tell you, on the road to glory, God don't set traps. He don't set traps. But the enemy will set snares of the fowler. Remember that? He set snares. The enemy will set snares in various places. But the Holy Spirit guides you around every snare. I mean, you're just cruising through. They're there, but they don't bother you. You see how critical? The only way you can call and say, hey, I just messed up. The answer is you didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. That's it. Because God didn't bring that. He's not teaching you something. Or the Lord's teaching me this week. Verse 33, and they answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye be made free? And Yeshua answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. So we're the servants of Satan. So it doesn't matter, saved, not saved, no matter when it happens in your life, you're the servant. You have not allowed Holy Spirit to guide you from that destruction. And his job is to guide you from it, and he never misses not one time. Not once. Not one time will you miss. You say, well, how do we know that? Because if that's the case, if the Holy Spirit can't do his job 100%, Yeshua would have sinned. Do you understand that? He would have. Because he wouldn't have been guided correctly. You know why he never? Because he listens very careful to what was directed to him, and he followed those directions. He became a subject to a king. And in his mind, in his heart, everything the king said, he obeyed. And he did it because he had power by Holy Spirit to see the kingdom's value. If the kingdom has no value to you, you're probably not going to pay a whole lot of attention to it. I want you to have value. I want you to see the kingdom as value. Remember, it's going to be the final thing that happens, and it's going to last forever. Think about that. It'll last forever. It's the final thing that happens. You got to ask yourself, where do I want to be when it happens? Because death outside of God is forever. There's no coming back from it. And he talks about the second death in Revelations. It's forever. It's done. And so, remember, when the kingdom has value to you, you elevate that value. You learn everything you can about it, you're going to have more respect toward the kingdom. And the servants abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth for ever. The son abides for ever. Remember that. Because that, can you imagine, cease to exist. Cease to exist, destruction that lasts forever is what the servant gets. But the son abides forever. It's eternal, and it's conscious. It's peaceful. No more tear. No more death. I could go read in Revelations, and read in Revelations how wonderful this kingdom's going to be. No more pain. No more suffering. No more tears. No more death. No more devil. No more temptation. I don't know about you, but that's going to be a place to be. That'll be the place to be. I'm trying to wrap my mind around it, how wonderful that place will be. It's going to be something. That you see, elevate the prize every day in your life. Maybe it's a good thing, just go read Revelations 21 and 22. Maybe read it for a while. Just go through it and read it, how incredible this is going to be. Read Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, start with verse 22, and read how incredible this is going to be. You read it and just kind of, right, I picked while they were singing, I picked my Bible up and I read those passages, just glanced over them because I was like, man, this is something. This is something. And I have them in the presentation, but they're not yet. But I was thinking about them today. This morning I was thinking about them. Wow, this is going to be something to see. Does Yeshua identify who generally mankind's current father is? And that he influences them to carry out his desires. That's where we're going to start next week. Does Yeshua identify who generally mankind's current father is? And that he influences them to carry out his desires. We're going to talk about that. We hadn't finished dealing with this fully on answering the question why. We still got quite a ways to go. But anyway, it's going to be something. And so I hope today.